We now return to Pacifica Matters.
You are listening to live Pacifica Matters or KPFK Matters, in which we are discussing KPFK and Pacifica program structure and program councils and how programming will be decided in the new Democratic Pacifica. I got three requests for this shtick again in the break, so I'm going to do it, even though it's not genuine. I have been given a script for the program. However, we are not going to listen to the script. We're going to go by the seat of our pants. And also, the phone calls are not pre-screened. When you ring in, when the phone is answered, you are on the air. Nobody answers before you're on the air. With me in the studio, and I have an announcement first. There's a Sunday meeting, but there's also a Saturday meeting. It's one of the joys of democracy. The KPFK Pacifica Bylaws Subcommittee, an open committee working to help rebuild Pacifica into the first ever democratically run community-based radio network, invites KPFK listeners and supporters to join in its work developing models for the revision of Pacifica Foundation bylaws. The committee will meet Saturday, August 3rd, starting at 2 p.m., 1:30 for orientation, at the Friends Meeting House, 4167 South Normandy Avenue in L.A., just over a block south of Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Topics will include not just the bylaws, but also how to help create on-air programming to inform and involve the community in the discussion about rebuilding the bylaws and structure for the Pacifica Foundation and KPFK. All listeners, supporters, and ideas are welcome. That's Saturday, August 3rd at 2 p.m. at the Friends Meeting House, 4167 South Normandy Avenue in Los Angeles. With me, and I'm Roy Tuckman, old-time 25-year Pacifica programmer, 30-year-long staff member. I haven't figured out how to get out of here yet, and serving as host at the request of Eva Georgia, the manager. And with me in the studio are Lydia Brazon, who is the chairman of the local advisory board.
Can you start saying chair, please?
Did I say chairman?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Chair of the calling her a chair is not human, though.
Chairwoman.
Chairwoman of the local advisory board, and Carl Gunther, who's from the Free Pacifica Neighborhood Network, and Sherna Gluck, who's from the Feminist Pacifica Neighborhood Network.
Great,
and
thank you.
With on the phone is Jonathan Markowitz, who...
May I make just one point
and
of clarification?
Calling in are a whole bunch of guys.
For the listeners, is that there's been some reference to the Carol Spooner proposal, and let's just clarify that that's from the KPFA, our sister station in Berkeley, and I don't know if we're going to be hearing from someone in Berkeley. But at WPFW, there is also another proposal, and that's in Washington, D.C. Three of the five labs, local advisory boards, have to vote on the electoral aspects of the bylaws. So we are still have not seen, but will see, input from Los Angeles, Houston, and New York. So I just want to make that very clear that there's been ample reference to the Carol Spooner so-called proposal because that came in early, as did Washington, D.C., but we're still waiting for it for the others, including our own.
You're referring to the national board member David Furtick's proposal, are you not?
No, I'm referring to input from all of the other listener areas, which are Los Angeles, Houston, and New York, not a particular individual, which is why I hesitated to just refer to Carol Spooner as simply her proposal, because there was consensus on the KPFA lab.
May I clarify that the national board proposals and therefore the ratification process stipulated by the agreement is, in other words, the national board it has sole power to ratify its bylaws with co-ratification process pertaining to the election procedures, right?
That's right. Everything that we do here is primarily advisory, except to the extent that one of our local board members is a representative to the national board. But they listen very carefully to what the listeners in each area are doing and saying.
Oh, instead of talking to ourselves, can we get some listener ideas about programming council?
All I was going to do is, because it was mentioned by another caller, that Carol Spooner, in her proposal, which is, you know, a very important proposal, one that is likely to have significant sections brought into the final one, she does mention a national program committee, and I'm just going to read the paragraph that defines that. There shall be a national program committee which shall review and evaluate the programming of all Pacifica radio stations to ensure that each station is fulfilling the purposes of the foundation. The program committee members shall consist of two local station board members from each station area who shall be elected by their respective local station boards, one of whom shall be a member of the national committee of the board. In the event that the program committee determines that a local station is not adequately fulfilling Pacifica's purposes, the committee shall meet and confer with the local station board for that station to develop corrective measures and policies. So you see, even once we set up a local programming council here, there still is the possibility that there will be a national organ as well that will be looking at what we're doing, and all the other stations might have input into that.
Okay. Hello, caller.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Okay. First of all, can I say that the old way of calling people doesn't work. It selects out people whose phone company cuts them off the air after so many
times. All phone companies cut them off the air after you ring for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have been a member of a community station that had a 100% of program of listener sponsor elected programming board, and so I mean the comment that it was illegal is obviously not quite true, and it also it works pretty well for both the staff and the listeners.
What station was that?
That was the KZUM in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Were there paid staff?
No.
Or were they volunteers?
They were all volunteers.
Okay. Well, that is kind of a different situation and creates its own set of problems.
True. And it was also only one station that wasn't the network of five stations.
Was the station board that you're referring to empowered in any way over programming decisions? Could they countermand the general manager, for example?
Okay, the station board and the programming board were a separate and independent body. Mm-hmm. And the station board made no programming decisions, and the programming board made no decisions for the station.
Okay, well, thank you. What was the station again?
It was KZUM in Lincoln, Nebraska.
KZUM in Lincoln. All right. Well, I guess it can work at least there. Thanks. All volunteers. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to find out how long it takes between the time that a majority of listeners make a desire stated and when it will actually become something that actually occurs. Just as an example, there's a program that you have running now that has a 12-program series. It's held in Caldecott, and it's been running for, I forget how many now, but I know that there's been a lot of people who've called and stated that they want it to stop. And I want to know, let's say it starts at program number one and somebody states that the majority of people say they want it off, or a majority of people, a great amount of people say they want it to no longer exist. How long will it take before some motion occurs where it will stop and something else will occur? My second question is, if you have programs, and programmers, I should say, that have many ideas, and they want to go on the air, if you have programs that are being repeated, even Democracy Now!, which I love, it goes on twice. You also have the show that comes on Friday, comes on again another portion of the week, and then comes on again on Sunday morning, Mr. Cooper's program, whatever it's called, that newspaper. And also you have well, you know that you have many other ones that are repeated, like Mr. Wiener's programs that air two or three times to the point where you know them by heart. Shouldn't there be a way that if someone's not going to show up, that you have alternate programmers who are dying to have a program on air at that time?
You know, I think that there are two issues here. One, how do programs get decided on? With the program console and people involved in dialogue and discussion in the community, perhaps Helen Caldicott wouldn't have been on 12 times to start with. But I think we have to understand that we're in a transitional period right now. And a lot of programs are being repeated. A lot of programs are running perhaps more frequently and more often than they should be because we're trying to work out a process to change programming at KPFK. And it has been a gradual process. And I know many of us, myself included, are frustrated with the pace of the change. But changes are occurring. And the idea of talking about program console is to figure out how do those changes occur. So I think I counsel all of us, myself included, to be patient, and change will indeed come if we all focus on how to bring about that change in a democratic way.
But I think very importantly is that you have given us two excellent questions for us to add to the list and to pose on Sunday when they meet with other listeners, and as those of us that are dealing with it more directly can consider, and that's what we want to hear more of, is these kinds of questions. We don't necessarily have the answers because we haven't formed a council yet, but to hear the questions that have to be considered.
Right, it becomes a question of accountability when you talk about that timing issue. How long before, between the time the majority expresses itself and there's a response? So there has to be, I believe, a listing of all the proposed new programming that has come in, and that has to be publicly available, for example, on a web page. And that way, a disposition can be posted by the station board, if they're responsible for being the program council, on how each of these proposals is being dealt with. You don't want things just to fall off the edge of the table without knowing that they were even there. And that's part of the listeners becoming aware of what their interests are and how they're and having them express the interests and being able to know what their own minds are.
Reestablishing the folio could also serve this role very well, especially if it's expanded enough that listeners could have, let's say, a bulletin board or letters to the folio, and we have a dialogue in print as well as at any of the ongoing forums, which I've proposed.
Absolutely.
Yes, my understanding is that is imminent to restart the folio, and we were very pleased.
That's the program guide, the in-print program guide. Thank you, caller. Very good.
Well, just one more thing. I want to say that the idea with the folio was a very good idea. To have some kind of a poll where you can mark your rating of a program, say, from good to poor. Or
we've done that. It's very interesting.
Thank you so much for being there.
Thank you. Good call. Yeah. Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. I want to make a few points about programming. I don't believe programming is so much a matter of expertise, but it's a matter of principles. And our mission statement is our guide. But it has to be a living document. And by that, I mean that today we have some very serious issues that were not an issue when Hill was still alive. And I want to make just three examples of that. Number one, the nuclear threat, which is a missile defense, a fraudulent, warmed-up Star Wars from the Reagan days, which has now been declared secret, and which would probably swallow about hundreds of billions of dollars from our tax money. Number two, that undeclared war of Bush, which has no end in sight, and meanwhile we're getting inundated with civil liberties, programs that really take away civil liberties. And number three, they're obviously trying to change us these days from a secular society to Christian nations. And it goes all the way from vouchers to faith-based charity to stem cell research to abortion. It's involved in a lot of issues. And yet, for instance, when it comes to that last one, number three, KPFK offers 2 hours of gospel programming, which has a lot of proselytizing in it. I mean, that lady that does that gospel music, she'll say, Jesus is, you have to take Jesus into your heart and so on. It's totally inappropriate, especially since you have nobody to balance it, no atheists, no free thinkers, nothing like that ever on the program. And these are just a few. I could give you a few more, but I don't want to take too much time.
I wanted to just point out that having an open, transparent review of programming where the entire community is included in programming forums, council forums, is the best way to address this issue in person as well as on the air, as you just did. And so I really appreciate what you're saying there about those three issues especially.
Yeah. Can I add a couple of things?
Yes.
Your programming seems to be drowning in pseudoscience and mysticism, especially in the middle of the night. Sometimes I turn it on, and it's quite appalling what's on there. Again, nobody ever from the Skeptic Society or people who are the scientists rather than the pseudoscientific type to balance it off. And I also am not too happy with just anecdotal stories where you get all emotional, like the KPFK programs on Israel, constantly on the so-called weaker group, the Palestinians, and very emotional, but very rarely a historical context and the fact that there really are two stories to tell. And I'd like less music. I would like more foreign policy, people like Parenti, Chomsky, Howard Zinn, and so on. And no car show. I think car shows are totally inappropriate. I mean, who cares? There's so many, that music is everywhere on all channels, and so are car shows.
You know,
Cars was the first.
I personally agree with you about car shows and some of the music, and I loved when there was Atheists United on, but I think that we also have to look at overall programming. Is there some programming that meets a constituency that is religious but also shares our progressive politics? I myself have to be very careful not to be too anti-religious and assume that people who are religious have less progressive politics than others.
You have no balance. You know, I mean, I don't talk about anti-religious. God, you look at TV and the whole channel is dedicated to religion.
So you would like to get Atheists United back on the air?
Well, not only atheists, but skeptics. Again, the Shermer, the Skeptic Society, and free thinkers, and the history of how we were founded. We have never been founded as a Christian nation. You remember giving it some kind of a historical context. You know, it's totally lopsided.
Well, what a programming council would do is this would be a channel for you and other listeners, for all of us, to be feeding these ideas into a program council. That's the purpose of it.
Yeah, I know. But what I'm trying to point out is that right now you're missing a lot of major issues that I'm sure the founder would have been very concerned about. And you are very lopsided on some of the other issues. Remember, 2 hours of gospel music I don't mind gospel music, but not proselytizing.
And I think that brings us back to your original point.
Okay, thank you, caller.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, yeah, I just want to respond to what the last woman was just saying. Yes, I think that you guys don't often address enough the really pressing issues that are coming down upon us. I mean, they are addressed, but it's sort of like, I feel like there's not enough concentration on that. Secondly, I love Roy's program, and I really appreciate the, God, I'm sorry, I'm getting nervous, I'm on the air. I really appreciate Roy's programming. Thirdly, I think there is more diversity than this woman is saying there is. But my main point is that I actually do really agree with her that we need to focus right now, especially just as it is more and more pressing, we really need to focus on what's happening in terms of our civil liberties, in terms of just the major changes that are going on in our world politically. And that's it.
Absolutely.
But the question is, what is the mechanism for doing that? That's our question here today.
Yes. What? How do you put that into operation, those criticisms and comments,
But that point about the mission having to be a living document that the previous caller made is very apropos.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Because this program council, if indeed it is set up the way we hope that it will be, will have to take the mission and figure out, in the current context, what's the important emphasis in our programming? And then we'll have to make programming decisions based upon that. And if we're not reflecting that kind of currency in our programming right now, it's probably largely due to the fact that we don't have such an entity set up to make those kinds of decisions and bring them out to the public for discussion.
Hello, caller.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, good. It's so nice to hear you clearly.
It's so good to hear you.
Well, I live a long, long way away, about 100 miles from you. I barely get your signal, but I struggle to listen to it.
What city is that?
I'm in Banning, California.
Oh, yes.
In the San Gorgonio Pass, and the mountains seem to be intercepting the strong signal, but I'm working hard to hear you. I do, I've been a long-time listener to KPFK, and I do want to be able to have my say, but there's no way I can go to face-to-face meetings, you know, and be able to put in my two cents. I think the caller who was complaining about, you know, the Aware show and some of the Roy's programming is really so underestimating the listenership. I am both a metaphysical, physical, and highly political person. I've been an organizer for 25 years in housing and, you know, other issues. And I think that that is just as important to our progress as, you know, the human entity here on the planet. However, I do want to have a way. I am on the Internet. I'm not that far away. I think there should be a way for all of the listeners to participate, even if we can't get into L.A. You know, you are not just an L.A. station. You are truly, you know, broadcasting out to a lot of very small rural areas. So,
listener, how many of you are there in Banning?
Well, I'll listen.
In Beaumont is
well,
right next
in
to
Beaumont.
It.
Yeah, well, I am currently living in Beaumont, but in the process of moving to Banning. And in that little stretch, it's one street that really divides us.
But how many of, KPFK listeners do you think you have in your immediate area?
Well, I know of at least 15.
Fantastic. How about forming a listener group? That's what Free Pacifica Neighborhood Network is.
The Desert Rat Network.
Oh, great. The Desert Rat chapter of the Free Pacifica Neighborhood Network.
Okay, are we talking about something that's already organized in the Palm Springs area?
No, we're talking about something you're going to be
creating.
Okay,
but we're not desert, you see. We're a path area.
Right.
We are
no, you're, okay.
Oh, well, but anyway.
But you've got folks right in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
And if you organize in your neighborhood and reach out to other listeners in your area.
Right.
If this was announced regularly on the air,
all the
folks out in Beaumont and Banning and wherever else.
Right.
You could start organizing and you can get input.
Victorville.
No,
that's
near
a different place.
Okay, well, that is good. I just want to make sure that even as a single listener in a rural area, and I'm sure there are people who feel like they're very much alone. If there is some way to have some say, because we need to, you know, we desperately need you. We truly are in desperate need of some kind of voice out here, and I wish we could strengthen the signal a little bit more so that Banning, we could get you clearly.
Has it improved, though, since this transmitter was...
Oh, well, there was nothing before. I have
a very
good radio now, but unfortunately, KCRW does have a transmitter here, and it just sort of overpowers you.
Also, I just want to remind the listeners that they should go to our website, kpfk.org, and there's a link on there to send in your email responses. You can also write to the station itself, and I can assure you that people do read these emails, and they try to get to a response as soon as they can.
Comments at kpfk.org.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
so
much.
Thank you for the programming. Bye-bye.
Oh, you like pseudoscience.
It's not pseudoscience. It's the alternative view. It's like you don't get anything real on MSNBC. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's a feminist station, Ms. NBC.
I wanted to suggest...
I want to suggest this is KPFK Los Angeles, 90.7 FM. Also heard in Santa Barbara at 98.7 and on the web at kpfk.org. You are listening to a special live program, KPFK Matters, one of a series of programs dealing with the democratization of Pacifica that have been mandated by the local board, which said do 2 hours a week, but they didn't say that they would do it. They say we do it. So we're doing it. I'm Roy Tuckman, a veteran KPFK programmer at night, in case you never heard of me after all 25 years. And with me, Lydia, and I do lots of pseudoscience on my program. And with me, Lydia Brezon, who's a chairman of the local advisory board, and Carl Gunther from the Free Pacifica Neighborhood Network, and Sherna Gluck of the Free Pacifica Neighborhood Network, who wants more women to call in. And on the phone, from the Pacifica Neighborhood Network and the Bylaws Committee, Jonathan Markowitz, who is in the comfort of his home in Victorville. I'm not. And we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back for more phone calls. Again, nobody answers the phone before me. And when I answer the phone, you're on the air. So they'll be ringing and ringing, and if you're one of those who gets answered at that moment, you will be on the air. KPFK Los Angeles, and let's have a few go-rounds.
A coalition of listener activists will be holding a town hall meeting entitled Democracy is Coming to KPFK on Sunday, August 4th from 1 to 5:30 p.m. at Loyola Law School, located at 1441 West Olympic Boulevard in the Burns Building Student Lounge. From 1 to 2:30 p.m., there will be breakout groups discussing the role and composition of the proposed program council. From 3 to 5:30, you, the listeners, will vote for representatives to search committees that will make recommendations to the general manager for the positions currently available for program director, news director, and development director. For more information, log on to kpfk.org or call 310-831-6023. Hope to see you there.
Step right up to KPFK at 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK, 818, and put in your 2 cents worth about the structure of our programming decisions and program committees and program directors and program groups and all that there kind of interesting
Roy,
stuff.
You just mentioned program director, and I think that what we haven't mentioned is that on Sunday there will be an election among general listenership for listener representatives to the search committee for program director. And
that's happening Sunday?
That's happening Sunday after the small group discussions on program council.
You've got to do this slowly. There's a election for people
on the program director
search committee.
And so that will start at 3 p.m. still at Loyola.
And their job will be to find somebody to be the program director.
They will join the other six people, three staff and three lab members, who will also select another three on a 12-person program director search committee.
To make a recommendation to the general manager regarding that position.
Good luck. Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, fabulous. I was starting to break down here. What I wondered about what you were just talking about, how would listeners who don't know the people, I guess I'll discuss the people who have resumes in for program director?
Well, people will have resumes, but they'll also make a short personal statement. But they'll give us their vision of program director and of programming, etc. So you'll get a sense of what this person represents.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay, well, the last caller really put it together for me, the one from Banning. I'm 60 miles away, and that's basically one real problem.
City are you in?
I'm in Huntington Beach.
There are a lot of people there.
Now, there is a neighborhood network, but it's loosely constructed. I mean, this is Orange County, right-wing, you know, unprogressive Orange County. And I feel that that neighborhood network, I just found it a couple of months ago when you started up again. And not many of the people go to the meetings because they're at a strange time of the day. And then it's turned out to be an entertainment affair where they bring food and all of that. I mean, I am starving, like the lady from Banning, for I think what's part of the mission, although I've never really read the mission. I used to hear it long ago. I don't hear it anymore. But activists, this is an election year. I mean, I know we're in trouble, KPFK, but can't we do anything about an election year? In L.A. alone, they're losing their health system. We don't have a programmer, other than Ian Masters, he's into everything, that really does that kind of thing. And, of course, Larry Bensky, and he wasn't on Sunday, he promised to have monthly health shows. And he's gone. I mean, for some reason, I don't know what we have against Berkeley, but my feeling is that L.A., Berkeley, New York are the prime stations, and I wish we could have programs from them. Now, I understand that people who live in L.A. are going to be volunteers and then eventually paid staff, but come on, there's a world out there, and L.A., from the two meetings I've been to this summer, I was able to get to, well, it was one meeting, an advisory board meeting. I couldn't believe it. It was nuts, absolutely nuts. The same people go all the time. I found out from the people I went with. And, I mean, it ended up being a shouting match. This is incredible when you have thousands of listeners way out there who are dying to be involved and want to hear about the problems of the nation. I mean, isn't that part of the, I hope, the mission statement?
Yes, there are several things also that are in the works. Many people have made this recommendation. Certainly the general manager has spoken about this. We're looking for a venue for a program, and I don't know if this is too soon to say, but Amy Goodman coming out here shortly, a couple of weeks from now. But beyond that is that we have been talking about addressing these national local issues in forums, in public forums as well, and broadcasting them.
Well, if you're going to, excuse me, did I interrupt?
No, go ahead.
If you're going to do that, could you maybe space them so you could have one in Orange County? I don't know where a radio station is in Orange County, or I don't know how you would do this. But, I mean, I feel that in Orange County, Banning, people like us who are active, I mean, I know people in the area, including my relative, it's going into a little different area. I went to two things. The other was the pledge drive in either May or June. I can't remember exactly when, but we rushed down there, and you had so many people that I couldn't even do phoning. But I found out that people like my sister, who donated $100 for Noam Chomsky and whatever, a CD, is going to get it 3 or 4 months from now. And I met a girl at Trader Joe's who I could tell should know about KPFK, told her all about it, then saw her a couple of months later. She was, you know, listening, and then she sent $50 for a CD. I don't know what it was, but she's going to get it 3 or 4 months later. That was unbelievable to me. That's among the things I found out by coming to the station. I loved it. The advisory board meeting was a wreck. I mean, it was unbelievable. So why not have things in other areas? And you know,
we are planning to do that, including these collectives that we've talked about, including these forums that I also mentioned, and including the local advisory board meetings. And at our next advisory board meeting, which will be on the 8th of August at the Peace Center, 8124 West 3rd Street, we are going to start the meeting out with a statement of good conduct because we have had some disruption, etc. So I hope that you will not judge it by whatever your experience was at that time. But yes, we're going to start making a concerted effort. I'm hoping that by September or possibly October, we will have a meeting in Orange County. So if you can stay tuned, and we will always be announcing this, and please check our website regularly.
And also, Huntington Beach is not that far from Long Beach. There is a Long Beach neighborhood network group that is, I believe, going to get revitalized.
Oh, that would be great. Now, as far as the last thing I want to, you know, mention again is, why aren't we friendly with the other stations? I mean, like, you know, it's not that we're the majority in this country. Can't we be, you know, a majority with our...
Why can't we love each other? Do you mean the other Pacifica stations?
Yeah, I mean Berkeley and New York especially. Well, I don't know about Washington.
Did you hear the... there were two different days of national programming. The last one was Juneteenth, on June 19th. Terrific. It gives us a sense of being part of the national network, and I share your feeling that we should also be sharing programs. I like Ben Ski a lot, and I found it frustrating when the microphones didn't work or the phone lines didn't work, whatever the problem was. We have some terrific programs that it would be wonderful if the other stations picked up. They have terrific programs. The problem is there are only so many hours during the day, and we have a lot of folks here knocking on the doors wanting to do programs.
And also is that this is a new day, so we are starting to develop a culture of that interaction so that now you have the general managers speaking to each other regularly every 2 weeks. The lab chairs are speaking to each other, learning about the programming that we can exchange. There's some in the mail right now on the way from Washington, D.C. to L.A. So, yes, this is moving forward. And as Sherna had said earlier, we just have to be a little bit patient while we see all this together. But we are trying to develop something that brings us together as a network
as
well.
Lastly, most important
I
of
have
all
to
is,
add, by
wait,
the way,
wait, wait, could I tell
I
you?
Have to add to the previous subject, however.
What?
With reference to the previous subject.
Right, right. Listen, all I wanted to say is they did not mention that this would be on. I just happened to come in late today and caught it. And it happened with Matters, the last program, that they don't tell us about it. I mean, I'm listening in the car. I'm listening whenever I can. I feel I listen a lot of the day to KPFK. Yet, the last two important programs about what's going on is not coming to us. It's just happening. Why is that?
No, you're absolutely right. There should be carts the entire week and on the calendar.
Yes, yes, all kinds of things. I was listening because it's been a bit since Matters. What's happening? Not a word, not a word. I go out for the day today. I come back, and I feel like, you know, you're doing it simply to make me irritated. Thanks so much for
being
here.
We're testing to see if you're listening.
And to Roy of Hollywood, you know, I want to say I know that they want... You know, programming is so important to me as to everybody, I'm sure. But because we're far away, we don't get our 2 cents in. And I feel that new people are great coming in. But if you have fabulous older, you know, people who have been around forever, someone like Roy, someone like Bensky, who came to L.A. the past few years helping us with everything that he possibly could, I did learn from the Neighborhood Network in Orange County. And yes... We can't have his show. I mean, isn't he great? He's just as good as Ian Masters. And, I mean, don't let me say anything about the Radio Nation that someone has already mentioned on several times. I already can memorize. And, of course, you know, Cooper always getting in a hate monger that I don't like listening to, and that's Hitchens or whatever his name is. It just drives me crazy when we need so much. When we don't need, you know, someone like him around, we get, you know, because we have Cooper. What, do we have a contract with him, and is he going to sue us, and why? I mean, I don't understand it. Why do we have to have someone? I know that some people like him, but, I mean, he's not one of the oldies and great ones. I mean, better to have someone new than to have someone like him who does not have anything in his heart for KPFK, other than getting on to NPR. But anyway, thank you for this, and I hope I haven't been screaming at you. I'm so glad that I caught on because it is very, very, very hard to even get a telephone call in. And keep plugging, Roy.
Thank you.
Thank you very
Roy,
much.
Roy, what were you going to say?
I was going to say that I play programs from other stations. I play Expert Witness from WBAI and a Visionary Activist from KPFA. And Gary Null from WBAI, who is back. And you're on the air. No, you're not. You're on the air. Hello?
Hello. Oh, my God. I got on.
No, it's just us.
When people were talking about the mission and you were saying that there's just so many hours in the day,
I agree with the woman who said that these are very, very serious times. And if somebody wants to be a programmer, I don't care what their program is, they don't have first place to get on the air when we've got information that we have to have. Whether it's covering congressional hearings, whether it's finding out what's going on so that we can be better informed. You talked of the folio earlier, and you said that we will be getting it. Well, why can't we have a little piece in the folio that people fill out, tell us what they're interested in, tell us what programs they really listen to, and when we have a fund drive, find out how many people are really supporting what programs. Is there ever any accounting on how much money comes in a certain program?
Yes, a lot of that. We look all very
right.
carefully at that.
Isn't that an indication of what people like?
Is it really? I mean,
yes,
do we want
it?
A popularity contest based on how much money comes in for a program?
That would be the duty of the program console. They could look at those figures, and they could weigh it out, and they could judge it, and they could see if it fits the mission. I can think of a few programs that probably bring in a lot of money that I can't stand.
Well, the problem with that point of view, caller, is that Pacifica has a mission.
That's what I'm talking about.
And
it may go with the mission.
But it may well be that a large number of people would support programming that wasn't consistent with the mission. Because if you look at the general population...
Paul, you didn't listen to me.
Yeah.
I said that the person could... You could look at all of the data, and the program chairman, I mean the program committee, would be the one that would decide whether it does follow the mission. I'm all for following the mission.
Well, then I agree with you, because that should be one input of many that the program council should have. How many people, I should say, are inclined to give money to support a station is one important piece of information, but only one among many.
But how many people is different than how much money.
Exactly.
If we have $25 right. subscribers, and we have a program that appeals to many of the $25 subscribers, the total amount of money is not going to be as great as another program
you
that may
put it necessarily. You wouldn't put it on the amount of money. You would put on the pledge, no matter what amount it was.
Oh, you're talking about
yeah.
the number
the
of...
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry, I misunderstood.
Yes, and we do keep track of both here at the station, but also it is my understanding that the folio indeed will have some little piece in there that you absolutely can write in what your opinions and so forth and mail it back.
Well, I'm
we
glad
keep...
that you do look at the people that send in things, because last Tuesday I pledged $110 to KPFA
right.
because they have a program that Chubb kicked off down here. Your Own Health and Fitness, which is the best health program I've ever heard. And unfortunately, I have to be home Tuesdays at 1 o'clock to get it. And I've never forgiven Chubb for that.
Well, a donation to one is a donation to all, so we're happy for any money you give to any of the Pacifica stations.
Good luck, people.
Thank you. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, I wanted to make a... Oh, just a minute, I'm trying to... Sorry. I wanted to sort of piggyback on two previous callers and make a plea for a more affirmatively active representation on a regional basis in terms of the who gets to talk about or who gives input or whatever you call the programming council inevitably. Because I'm a listener way out in Riverside County, and there's hardly a person that I know out here who doesn't listen to KPFK. And it's very difficult. In fact, I was at a meeting maybe a couple of months ago with a group of activists, and there were probably 100 people in the room, all of whom are KPFK listeners, and actually several of them, we were talking about pledging and being supportive of the station, and people were distressed about all the things that have been happening, in addition to the fact that we feel like everything is so LA-centered. And with the new transmitter going up and the spread of the signal and all of the important things that are happening on a regional kind of basis, that it seems like the only things that happen that are important happen in L.A. And there are things that are important that happen in L.A., particularly that affect, I know, my community in Riverside County. You know, that Alameda corridor is going to get shoved down our throats, too. And there isn't any discussion that balances not only that L.A. is a center of where things happen regionally, but how that affects the region as a whole. And if there could be some way to, you know, you're talking about process, to talk about programming, to have, I don't know, affirmative action programming where the region gets represented in a way, because I know I can't get out there, and if I added one more meeting to my schedule, I think my children would mute me.
Yeah, so, you're absolutely right. You know, I think that we haven't even begun to deal with the implications of what that transmitter signal means, and how to incorporate the input and the concerns of people in the areas outside of L.A. But going back to the issue of feeding ideas in about programming and the notion of program consoles, I think if we go back to Jonathan's proposal, are you still there, Jonathan?
Yes, I am.
Okay. If we go back to Jonathan's proposal about monthly forums, and these definitely could move around the area so that we have a wide base of listeners throughout the region who are giving input and holding a programming console accountable.
I also have found that one of the most effective means of doing this is to receive an invitation by a group of listeners that are in a particular location. We just responded to such an invitation this last Monday, and I had never met any of those people, with very community-specific issues that they brought to our attention mm-hmm. that were horrific, that we need to address. And so this is the type of thing that I think that all the listeners out there can do. Sherna had mentioned it earlier with the woman in Huntington Beach, Banning, etc. Send us an invitation if you have a group together that you want to hear from us, and we'll all rotate from either the lab or the station or the general manager or the listener groups or whatever, and make it a point to get out there.
And teach you the Kwasa Kwasa.
Well, that would be a lot of fun, and it's certainly, you know, if there's a way to get, you know, not just the signal, but, you know, some input on what's being put out through that signal would be certainly, and there are lots and lots of issues, I know, here in Riverside County, which I'm sure there are everywhere, that
and
are
also
critical.
It would also be really important, because there hasn't been enough thought given to, in terms of the mechanics of elections or representation on program council, the regional has not been factored in. So if listeners out there have ideas on this, please send them to us.
The key to making this work, actually, is the signal itself, and this is part of the proposal, and I keep trying to stress this, that not only having rotating programming council forums in every area, including the outlying areas, and have them widely publicized, but to have them broadcast either live or pre-recorded. What that does is it integrates all of the issues that listeners from each of those outlining areas bring up in those forums through the signal, and it's propagated throughout the entire listenership. This is the key. Without that element, we will be continually trying to update ourselves when we actually have the vehicle itself to do that with, which is the signal. The solution is actually quite simple.
I think one of the things that's problematic, just sort of on the whole, though, is that just logistically, for people from Huntington Beach, from Riverside, from Banning, from Santa Barbara, to get down to L.A., even if we could attend in our own local area a lab meeting or a listener forum, but to be able to be more, I don't know, intricately involved, more actively involved in something like a programming council, so that our issues were able to be embedded in the process of the signal, you know, what gets output is
I know what one of the mechanisms that in this new age of technology we've been utilizing considerably for the different lab chairs is phone conferencing. So there are a lot of things that we have not looked at in order to accommodate this.
Okay, thank you for your call. We have to start wrapping up.
And I must say,
give you the last word.
Thank you for all the women who have called in, the most women I've heard call in any program on KPFK
and I want to say,
or KPFA.
If listeners want to get involved in the outlying areas, please go to the website www.fpnn.org and click on your local chapters to find a local chapter near you, or call us and start a chapter of your own.
You want to have a last word, caller?
No, thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
We have been ensconced with a program called Pacifica Matters or KPFK Matters, and for the last 2 hours have been discussing programming structure and a little bit of programming content. And these series of two-hour programs have been mandated by the National Board, and judging by the phone response, they have been... it's been interesting to a lot of people. With us has been Lydia Brasson, chairman of the KPFK Lab, and Carl Gunther from the Free Pacifica Neighborhood Network, and Sherna Gluck of the Free Pacifica Neighborhood Network, and Jonathan Markowitz of the Bylaws Subcommittee. Do you have a wrap-up, Lydia?
Anything just thank you to everyone and for bearing with us. I think for all of us, bylaws are not the most riveting subject, but necessary, and I hope. And it's obvious that our listeners also appreciate the effort. So thank you all so much.
And Sherna?
Again, thank you, and I urge you to continue this discussion with us by coming to Loyola on Sunday at 1 p.m. and at 3 p.m. voting for representatives to the Program Director Search Committee.
And Carl?
Thank you to everyone. We learned so much from the listeners when they call in, especially the new listeners who are not our usual suspects, and we had a number of those today, and we really appreciate the input.
Okay, and I would like to mention that there's a meeting Saturday, and that there, also the KPFK Pacifica Bylaws Subcommittee, an open committee working to help rebuild Pacifica into the first ever democratically run community-based radio network, invites KPFK listeners and supporters to join in its work developing models for the revision of Pacifica Foundation's bylaws. The committee will meet this Saturday, August 3rd, starting at 2 p.m. at the Friends Meeting House, 4167 South Normandy Avenue in L.A., just over a block south of Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Topics will include not just the bylaws, but also how to help create on-air programming to inform and involve the community in the discussion about rebuilding the bylaws and structure for Pacifica Foundation and KPFK. All listeners, supporters, and ideas are welcome. That's Saturday, this Saturday, 2 p.m., Friends Meeting House, 4167 South Normandy in L.A. Jonathan.
I would like to mention there is actually an online bulletin board where people can post their ideas and criticize or whatever. That I just want to warn you, there are a lot of anonymous posters sometimes, which tend to get a little pointed. But that's at goodlight.net. I think that's the...
Oh, some intense arguments going on.
Right.
Goodlight.net.
There are also many email lists, which you can go to Yahoo Groups and get involved in some of the email discussions, such as New Pacifica at Yahoo Groups or Free KPFK at Yahoo Groups. And I urge listeners to do so. I also want to send out a message to the staff and programmers that please come to these meetings and put in your 2 cents.
Or more.
Or 5 cents.
Or, yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Jonathan.
Okay.
And thank you, Lydia and Carl and Sherna. Coming up next is Beneath the Surface with Jerry Quickly. And I'm Roy Tuckman, been the host. And thank you for those of you who called in and listened in, and we'll solve all the problems sooner or later, but the action is where it's happening. Thank you. Good night. Day.
Jerry Quickly is next on Beneath the Surface, looking at crops.